Broadcasting live from the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for FinTech South 2018. Brought to you by PPRO, taking the complexity out of payments. Now, here are your hosts.
And we are back. Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here with you, broadcasting from the beautiful Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It is for FinTech South 2018. I have had such a good time all day, Lee. Maybe part of it's because you've been doing all the heavy lifting and the hard work, but we have met some really great folks, haven't we?
Yeah, it's been an amazing day meeting people from all over the world coming into Atlanta for this FinTech South event that is got to be the premier event of its kind.
Well, I got to tell you, this conversation is going to be no exception. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast from a little company some of you may have heard of called EY, Mr. Matt Hatch and Angus Champion de Crepney. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you for having us.
Matt, tell us a little bit about what you guys are up to and what in the world brings you to Atlanta for this FinTech conference.
Well, thank you. We are all about innovation in financial services. I lead our FinTech and growth markets practice here in the Americas region. We're working with entrepreneurs, investors, incubators, accelerators, and of course, incumbent financial institutions, helping them innovate faster, better.
You've answered that question before, haven't you?
I have.
Very impressive, too. There's no notes, no anything. No, you're very articulate about this, but you're also fired up about it, I can see.
I'm pretty passionate about it.
So now, how have you seen the industry evolve over the last few years?
Yeah, it's been interesting. You know, I get asked the question a lot, if we're in a bubble, if a lot of this buildup over the last couple of years is going to pop. I absolutely don't think it has or it will. There's been a lot of innovation in enabling technologies, a lot of great fintech companies taking products directly to market to consumers and through incumbents. But I honestly believe we're only at the beginning. There's still a lot more to go in terms of innovating financial services, making it more efficient, making it more digital. I think when you look at a lot of the financial products today, it's still in the back and middle office, it's still very, very old school and ripe for a lot of innovation. And we've seen a lot of the customer impacts to innovation that are, I think, exciting and telling of the future. So I think there's a lot more ahead of us, too.
Now, can you share any stories? I don't want you to name any names, but about how when you guys are working with a client, how you're able to kind of either help them navigate the waters in this area or maybe break into it?
Yeah, I'll talk a little bit about collaboration. We spend a lot of time with startups, helping them in all aspects of their business, whether it's audit activities, tax advice, M&A support, and regulatory advice. But when it comes to how they interact with, how they integrate with an existing incumbent financial institution, sort of the rubber hits the road there, where a startup meets the risk function, the cybersecurity function, legal, and maybe five others, and they slow down, right? And so we've spent a lot of time on the ground helping companies streamline their risk functions so that they can accelerate innovation. It's been one of the major impediments to collaboration, I'd say, over the last couple of years, and can't be understated how difficult that is. It's a cultural issue. It's certainly one that, from a regulatory perspective, can't be taken lightly. And helping companies streamline a lot of those different risk functions and achieve an objective of accelerating innovation is an area where we spend a lot of time.
Now, how difficult is it for you when you have to kind of manage their expectations on what to expect? Because there is a level of complexity, and there's also the speed in which the technology is changing.
Yeah, it's certainly a challenge. Clients are sometimes difficult. I love my clients dearly, but sometimes there's a process. There's a communication and culture to how we work together. You've got to be understanding. You got to walk in their shoes, and we absolutely do that and help them achieve their objectives. This is a space where you cannot apply a one-size-fits-all approach. You don't just come in and do innovation, or you don't just come in and implement a fintech function or something like that. It's very much a collaborative environment, and you've got to be looking eye to eye with your clients and walking down the line with them.
What about some of the challenges when it comes to cybersecurity? How do you help them with that?
Yeah, it's a massive challenge. It's something that, as I mentioned earlier, from a regulatory perspective and certainly from a technical perspective in this case, must be a priority. You cannot take out a new technology, new product, new service without making this sort of priority number one in terms of how you approach the development, the maintenance, the rolling out of a new capability. It's easy to say, it's difficult to achieve, and we've got a lot of deep specialization through the entire stack from a technology perspective in order to help our clients get ready for that.
Now, what about when there's a new technology, something like blockchain? How do you kind of introduce maybe some of your clients into that world where maybe they've heard about it, maybe they read something about it, but they're not really willing to kind of go in all in yet? Maybe they want to kind of just dip their toe in the water.
Yeah, where I usually call my good friend and pal next to me right here, Angus, to talk to them about it.
He's the blockchain expert?
He's the blockchain dude.
Yeah, I've been looking after the blockchain and crypto asset space for a few years now, and it's an interesting question because the space itself has certainly changed in many different directions over the last few years.
Well, before you get too far into it, can you kind of explain the difference between blockchain and the cryptocurrencies, because those aren't the same thing? People use them kind of together.
They do, but they're very interrelated. The cryptocurrencies or crypto assets that are built on top of public blockchains. So the blockchain is the underlying technology that enables the creation of these particular assets.
Right, so the blockchain is foundation for a lot of things, and then the crypto is kind of special.
Correct. Cryptocurrency is the product for the blockchain technology. Yeah, yeah.
So now how are you helping your clients kind of navigate that?
As I mentioned, there have been some evolutions over the last few years, and there are really kind of three elements to this. Firstly, we've seen a lot of experimentation in using these blockchains without cryptocurrencies, and we've worked with our clients on determining how they may be able to use that technology to either find efficiencies, establish new business models, or operate in a slightly different way. The second thing that we've seen is we've started to see a pivot back towards what was the original application of blockchains, which is to these crypto assets. And the reason why consumers and some enterprises are interested in this is because it allows this digital store of value that can be easily moved around. It's volatile, but people like to trade in it. When there's trading, financial institutions want to play a part of that ecosystem. And we're also seeing people having a look at this and saying, if you can move value very quickly around the world, how might this change our business model? What does that mean for payments? What does that mean for asset management? And we're helping our clients navigate that.
Now, when something can be potentially that disruptive, how do they kind of wrap their arms around kind of addressing that, because they may not be nimble enough to deal with the ramifications of it being implemented?
It's difficult, and we see a few different things, and really the two sides of the spectrum. And this is really works across all of fintech, is organizations that very innovative throughout, very integrated and constantly on, you know, almost a daily or weekly basis, looking at what are technologies or businesses that may disrupt what we're doing, and being quite nimble in that. That's a very unique model, but that sometimes occurs, all the way through to the other side of the spectrum, where innovation labs take up sort of a lot of this spectrum, by the way, where you will have parties within the organization that will work with technology vendors, that will bring them in-house, that will work on that experimentation, and bring that knowledge to those insiders in the business who can think through what might be those business models. And that's always the challenge with innovation. Can the incumbents innovate faster than the innovators can build the network?
And then at FinTech South, at this specific event, how are you guys attacking it? Is this something that are you doing some speaking? Are you just kind of walking the aisles here in Innovation Alley? Or are you listening to the speakers?
Yeah, we have a booth right here in the middle of Innovation Valley. Angus and I both were on stage this morning. I spent about 20 minutes talking about my views on fintech, both in terms of how we've evolved to where we are today, and then we took a deep dive into some of the data we've got out of our global fintech adoption survey, which is a survey of over 22,000 global fintech users, and looked at some of the demographics around that and what's causing that evolution. And then we ended with some perspectives on some of the key innovations ahead of us. So it was a good discussion. We've got a lot of our clients here. We've got a lot of our EOY, our Entrepreneur of the Year nominees here, both past winners as well as those that are finalists from the Atlanta area this year. It's absolutely impressive how many finalists have come through and actually won over the last couple of years. That's a U.S.-based competition that we engage in every year. And the last 2 years have been from Atlanta. So it's great to be here and see a lot of these innovative companies.
Now, are you surprised that so many international companies are here this year?
No, because because of what I just said. I think there's so much innovation happening here. I'm not surprised it's attracting a international viewer and participants here.
What about from a talent standpoint? How do you see Atlanta and Georgia doing in creating the talent that we need for this industry to really keep growing?
You know, I think this is increasingly a place where talent is both built and talent is moving into. I think we've seen it with some fintech companies coming into this region, and clearly the talent's coming with them, and they're coming here for the talent that is here. So it's absolutely impressive.
Now, for you guys, what's the best way for someone to learn more about your organization?
Yeah, so on ey.com/fintech, you'll find a lot of our thought leadership and some links over to our blockchain site as well. You can find me on Twitter, mbhatch. Or Matthew Hatch on LinkedIn. We post a lot of our material there. We're always happy to hear from folks out there who are innovating and share common views on the objectives here around accelerating innovation in financial services.
And Angus?
Likewise, on Twitter, Angus Champion. Great way to stay in touch with people who are developing new insights and products. And LinkedIn, also Angus Champion.
And then what's the ideal prospect for you guys?
Small companies, large companies, we're working with them all. So we're not focused on one or the other. The ideal prospect, I would say, for us is companies who are focused on growing, companies who are focused on being successful in a complex regulatory and cybersecurity world that we operate in, and understanding the technologies, including cryptocurrency and blockchain that Angus talked about. These are not trivial technologies, and they want a partner that can roll up their sleeves and work with them on these.
Thank you so much for being part of the show today.
I've always thought I had the coolest name, Stone Payton, but Angus Champion, that is a really cool moniker. So what's the success metric, guys? What is going to make you feel like, and the folks back at the ranch feel like, man, that was time and energy well invested coming to FinTech South 2018? What's going to have you high-fiving?
I think high-five for me would be that everyone that we interact with out here understands how helpful we can be to their success, to innovation in financial services, and that they reach out to us and find ways to team up together.
You know, the great thing about these conferences is not necessarily, I mean, obviously you learn some great content, but it's always the people. You know, as Matt said, there's a brilliant contingent down here. Great to be in the city, and hopefully we can keep expanding and networking with the state and studio down here.
Well, gentlemen, it has been an absolute delight having you both on the program this afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, we will be back in a few from FinTech South 2018.
This interview has been brought to you by Business Radio X and PPRO. PPRO takes the complexity out of payments. For more information, go to ppro.com.